for plebs by plebs, dropping the Bitcoin only signal. Pleb Underground. Welcome everyone to the Pleb Underground.
Pleb Underground, episode 34. Printer is coming. HODL or be a trader. Game theory evader. Arbitrage aggregator. Bullshit dissipator. Nah. Stack now or pay later. Pleb Underground, where the plebs speak freely, not watching their tongue like OMG, really. Explaining Bitcoin empirically, call it wax wing lyrically. I'm no strike dev VP, but definitely up to par. Couple lines compiled, call me Uncle Rapstar. Feel the beat, it's on repeat, just pure signal, no deceit. Long the wave, just like AM, long the rave until the AM. Time flies, it's now the PM. No leading politician, not that PM. Beyond the meridian, with arms like a branch Davidian, nor the minister who says he's in charge, nor the minister who now says discharge. Sovereignty begins with what goes inside of me. I'm loud, brash and funny, but it's just a side of me. Stay on my flow, now please just ride with me. She gets it all, the girl right beside of me. Ego death and rebirth, ego side of me. You still test my patience, sometimes I sigh to me. My identity front and center, I can't lose sight of me. I keep working for the principles, the limit is piety. When you enjoy that repetition, think. Entropic or addition, is it true conviction or degenerate addiction? Buying Bitcoin, get your dose in, triggering release of oxytocin, making you think that you love it, triggering greed, careful not to covet. This is a world full of pain and suffering. Normies stay sane as long as Netflix buffering. Karl Marx said religion was opiate of the masses, new psyops as each new month passes. Pure socialist gaslighting to nurture state dependency and undermine the family. They don't deserve clemency. Central banking has undermined it all. It was so much more than just a pitfall. I thought we evolved past Homo erectus, but normies think that the state will protect us. Men are meant to be the family protectors. Too many gone soy, workout defectors. Bitcoin's not certain, nor a rap like most deaf. Stay in over going out, rather host guests. Are we the loudest because our critics are the most deaf? Maybe I'll live forever. Maybe I'll ghost deaf. Know your direction. Can't be a stray or waif. Keep assimilating independently, just to be candid. Higher education is toast. Not even the dean's safe. This is Walton. I host the Pleb Underground Standard. Proof of work. Proof of hustle. Send the memorandum. Proof of lifting. Proof's the muscle. Quod erat demonstrandum.
That was absolutely awesome, Walton. Absolutely amazing, dude. I say it every week, man. Every week it's like the best one, and then you go and you outdo yourself. Guys, welcome back to the Pleb Underground. And joining us today is friend to the show, fellow Bitcoiner and Pleb, Mr. Honey Badger. I guess we'll just call you Mr. Honey Badger.
Bitcoin.
Eve Benaim. How you doing, my dude? We really appreciate you joining us.
I'm doing fine. I just bought all my Dogecoin now. So now I'm set. I'm good. I just wanted to come here to say that.
I really appreciate that. And I was corrected. I was corrected on one of my clips actually that Doge is actually deflationary, right? Because as the supply increases forever, they only produce 5 billion every year. So hard cap, it's deflationary.
Yeah, I should.
Phil,
be
what's the limit of an arithmetic sequence where you have, you know, positive starting term and positive, what's the limit of a sequence where you have positive terms?
I don't know. I think you have to ask Bill Kwan about that. He would know.
Like it's basically shitcoiners. It's either people who don't understand math or it's people taking advantage of people who don't understand math. That's the whole of what shitcoinery is.
Very well said. Very well said. At the time of this recording, the block height is 784,389. The Bitcoin price, 27,900. Sorry, the fiat exchange rate, 27,900. Total public lightning capacity, 5,411.51. We're up from last week. We're at 5,300 something. Moscow time, 3584, and the chain rewrite days, 722. The numbers.
Can I interject?
Of course.
You need to start doing the conversion rates in Swiss francs.
In Swiss francs.
Yeah. You need to compare it with something that makes sense.
Oh God.
And now you're using the US dollar, and you know, next week or next month, it's not going to be there anymore. So people will be confused. You have to start switching to a proper currency or something. Still fiat.
Are you suggesting a change to the yen or something?
Yeah, you could go for the yen. That would be nice. That would be funny. Gosh.
All right, we're not continuing this. This is going the wrong direction. This is totally going in the wrong direction. Okay, hold on. First, let's take a look at our numbers article today. Earth-shattering numbers, and then we are going to dive into...
I mean, the pound's been headed in the right direction against the dollar, like, over the last, you know, few months. I've been quite pleased to see over the last 6 months.
All right, our numbers article is this tweet from @DaxTrader. MSTR now holding 4.17 billion in BTC. Even crazier is to see Bank of America loading up heavy in Q1, becoming a top shareholder out of nowhere, purchasing 59.5 million in shares, right? So they're purchasing the shares of MSTR, for the people that don't understand. It's not shares of Bitcoin, of course. Fidelity also loaded up large with 25 million purchases. Capital Research also added 11%. BlackRock and Vanguard positions also increased. All right, let's go take a look at Fidelity. So it looks like, what do they got over here? 97,000 shares of MSTR.
Phil, do you mind going back to it? Do you mind going back to it? Just so okay. I can you reference the exact wording that they have there, because I think there were a couple of points. This guy is called Dax Trader. I mean, it's not a surprise that his trader is in his name, because he doesn't use the Bitcoin quantity. He just references the dollar value of the Bitcoin. So you can find out. I believe it's 140,000 Bitcoin, which is one in every 150, approximately, right, that will ever discovered, is point number one. But point number two, these banks loading up, GBTC is fucked, right? And so if you're an institution and you want Bitcoin exposure, there aren't many options for you other than loading up on MicroStrategy, because Barry Silbert got too greedy.
That's a very good point. I don't really care about any of this, right? But it's very interesting, because to me,
But the why is important, right?
I was talking about this today. It seems like a signal. It seems like a signal from the legacy system that, you know, Bitcoin became a real, that's debatable, but kind of became this real asset to the legacy system in 2013 and has technically now existed for 10 years to them, right? Even though it's existed longer for us. So I think that this is a signal that they're serious, that they're like, hey, this thing isn't going away and we can't ignore this. Eve,
do you know how much GBTC they had though before?
Huh?
Do you have any idea how much GBTC that any of these guys had before?
No.
That would be an interesting question. Yeah. What I'm thinking about MicroStrategy is that maybe that's what he wants, but he's kind of, painting himself in a corner, because originally he wanted to protect his treasury, and now the value of his stock and the value of his investors are how much Bitcoin he owns, and that's his treasury. He's not supposed to stock up on Bitcoin. He's supposed to put some money aside so that he can invest in his business eventually.
Yeah, but the business is kind of flat, right? Like
exactly.
It's a bit of a nothing.
I think now we actually know that he cannot do business anymore except for holding Bitcoin. The problem is, whenever there is an ETF, people might be going away.
It's a very good point. And it's interesting, because I did see a tweet from somebody that indicated that you don't need an ETF because you have MicroStrategy.
Exactly. It's even better in a way, but you know,
don't they have more Bitcoin than actually like the value of their Bitcoin is more than their share value. Isn't that right?
Isn't it like 80%? I think I was talking
so
about
actually kind of the, it's like what GBTC was meant to be doing or something like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's absolutely.
So again, I'd love to know how much GBTC these guys had before all of the last 6 months. Yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Because it might just be that essentially they've just shifted their Bitcoin exposure amounts or percentages more into MicroStrategy as GBTC fell apart.
That's, you know what? I think that that's very plausible. And to your point, Michael Saylor, love him or hate him, does technically have a longer, more kind of like battle-hardened track record, right, than Barry Silbert. I mean, let's be honest, at the end of the, you know, people can shit on Michael Saylor all they want. He did go through the dot-com bubble. His company completely, you know, imploded, and it did come back from nothing. Granted, it is technically what we determine as flat, but once again, he has found a way to reinvent himself through Bitcoin.
Is helpful for him that he's only a 10 to 15 minute drive from Langley should he want any extra support.
So we're at that stage of the conversation now.
We're at that stage of the conversation. It's the spook time. It is the spook part of the conversation. Although, all right. So what are your thoughts, Eve? Michael Saylor.
Well, I think if he is a spook and the U.S. government is stocking up on Bitcoin, it's bullish for Bitcoin.
So let me ask you this, right? What do you think about the people who say that it's actually quote unquote dangerous that this one entity specifically is holding so much Bitcoin? I want to just start off by saying I personally don't give a shit because it's a finite Bitcoin. There's never going to be more than 21 million. And this doesn't make it possible for MicroStrategy to create Bitcoin out of thin air, right? Which we all know. So for me, it's a giant nothing burger. At some point, this company may choose to divest of their Bitcoin. Indeed, there's going to be volatility in the price, but so be it. That's what happens when people are buying and selling and you're looking for a medium. So at some point, that value will shift, I assume. But if it doesn't, do I really care? Because it doesn't give them more control. Anyways, sorry, I just got to spill that all out before I forget it all. What are your thoughts?
Personally, I don't care. I don't find it dangerous. I don't necessarily like it. I mean, if there was an ideal scenario, I wouldn't go this way. But I don't think he's going to just keep it forever like that. Or if he does, as I said earlier, he's going to be stuck with it. It's just going to be like one big, you know, gold standards of his company. It's going to be, you know, he's like what Luna was doing, backing up with Bitcoin, or, you know, what Tether is supposed to do. So eventually he's going to want to sell, or he's going to want to collateralize some kind of, you know, expense with whatever he's keeping, but then he's going to get a loan out of it or something. And then he's going to go back into circulation. He's rich, he's investing. And as I told someone else, I don't remember who it was earlier today or yesterday, when he's taking risks, people are saying he's stupid. And when he's successful, people are saying he's lucky, just like every other Bitcoiner. So he's taking risks and he's being successful with it. And, you know, good for him.
Agreed. Very good point. All right. Before we move on over to Rekt and Hopium, we want to get to know our guest, right? For the people who don't know Eve, right? I refer to him as Mr. Honey Badger. So Eve, would you be kind enough to explain to the guest, because I don't know if the guests know that you are the official, unofficial creator of the Honey Badger logo.
So a while back, there was this Twitter thread where people were talking about OPSEC, and I came up with the concept of having a ichthys for Bitcoin. The ichthys, if you've seen it before, it's that fish that people have at the back of their car. It used to be a way to signify that you were a Christian when there was oppression against the Christians back, you know, Roman time or something. So the idea was to have a Bitcoin logo that people who are into Bitcoin would know about it, and people who don't know about Bitcoin would not, you know, see you as a target like the big B. And I don't want to carry a big, you know, B logo on my back all the time, you know, depending on where I am. So I did that little Honey Badger thing, and I put it on GitHub as a, I don't remember, but you know, you can copy it, you can do whatever you want with it. And now it's like the official, unofficial. You can use it, you can do stuff with it, you can print it on stuff or, you know, like stickers, whatever you want. And in a way now it became way too recognized, but still it's kind of cool because it doesn't have the big B and you can recognize it. And hidden in the design, there's a little lightning bolt because, you know, you kind of have to make a reference to Lightning Network. So that's the story. And I don't know, maybe you'll put a link to it, or maybe you want to show the 3D printed version that you have.
Over your shoulder. We can see it over your shoulder.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And also Phil's got one too. You can too buy one if you're listening or watching along over at CryptoCloaks. That's CryptoCloaks.com or CryptoCloaks.co.uk. And use the code PLEBUNDERGROUND for 5% off your very own honey badger.
You're gonna have to do that again, anyways.
No,
huge. That was awesome. So my interview was sponsored by CryptoCloaks.
Your interview was sponsored by CryptoCloaks.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Okay, so Eve, that is absolutely amazing, and I have to say that I really appreciate it, and I love the hidden in plain sight aspect of the honey badger. I totally love that.
So I thought you knew it was over your shoulder the entire time. I was like, it's literally right there. He knows this, right? And then it was eventually, nope, he does not know that it's there.
I put it there for when there is a journalist who wants to have a chat with me, and then, you know, they say, what is that thing that you have? And then I explain to them, you know, that the world is going down, but there is a safety net and they can jump on it and everything. So, but yeah, I completely forgot about it.
And so instead he's stuck on a plebcast with us.
Yeah. But okay. all this is the past. I want to say one thing. First, that story, that idea actually evolved, and their Gigi, that super famous, excellent guy, made a thing called OPSEC Swag, which is a website that actually makes links and lists all kind of swag that are OPSEC friendly, which I think is a super cool idea. So I don't know, I wanted to plug it there because I'm not related to it. And more recently, one thing that I did that maybe you don't know, so I'm going to tell you because, you know, is an app called Satpile. Did we ever talk about that? Yes. So this is a watch-only wallet, which allows you to put XPubs and individual addresses, and you can plug it to your node if you want to be secure. You can plug it to your node through Tor, or you can use another explorer like Mempool Space or whatnot, and you can check your addresses. So it's really good for people who are doing cold storage, and or if you're doing DCA to your cold storage and you want to have your sats going directly to that, you know, hidden thing that you have at, you know, buried in your garden in a box that is hermetically sealed.
Bitcoin's not in the signing device, Eve.
I know, but that's my point. You want to check the address. You want to check the address, right? Because you want to make sure that your DCA is.
You want to be able to generate the addresses, is what you're saying. And so, you want to therefore, you need the XPub. The XPub needs
exactly.
To be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But that was a segue to my new venture, which is a DCA thing. So, you know, I was trying to introduce it super stealthily.
Wait, do you not mean FCA? Isn't it like Frank? No, wait. Frank.
CHFCA.
How does it go? CHFCA.
CHFCA, yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Well, it should be FCA because it's fiat, right? Fiat cost average. So
yeah, I also think people usually misuse the term. They just mean they're saving in Bitcoin. It's because what they're, rather than like a lump sum, which is like if you have an amount to deploy, you know, to deploy, then deploying it immediately is lump sum. Choosing to spread out a lump sum over time is DCA. Saving regularly is not DCA. It's just saving.
But it kind of is.
Yeah. So
no, if you're buying regularly, you're trying to take advantage of maybe similar. You're trying to smooth out the volatility exposure. Okay. But don't be a pussy. Just smash buy.
But you're not.
So what?
you're not also going to have all the money that you will ever have. All
exactly. It's for people. It's for people who are still fiat mining.
But yeah, what you're saying, I'm fiat mining as well, but like exactly. I'm self-employed, so I don't get paid. Like I get, you know, I get money when I get money, and I try and save.
Exactly. So the goal is not to DCA, but the result is that you're DCAing because you kind of do without even trying to do it.
That's right. You know, even if you don't want to call it that, that's what it ends up being.
You don't want a DCA.
But there's no like smoothing. Like the idea of DCA is that
of course there is
a regular frequency such that you get some sort of smoothing compared to what the price is currently doing. Whereas, yes, if you just buy if you've bought Bitcoin more than once, there is an average buy price, and that is related to the dollar cost or fiat cost or whatever. So yes, this is semantics at this point.
It is. It totally
exactly. So the end result is you didn't want to DCA, you didn't know that you were DCAing, but in effect you actually DCA'd.
That's right.
Fiat
or FCA'd. Yeah.
So Eve, tell us,
yes,
what is your new venture before Walton cuts you off? What is your venture?
I wanted him to cut me off, and it was more interesting than what I'm about to say. But in Switzerland we have regulations that are kind of cooler than in most places in Europe, and so wealth the idea
taxes.
Was. Taxes and also KYC. So a lot of the quote unquote DCA apps are using Swiss regulations. They are based in Switzerland, their activities, so that they can be KYC light, where you have
like
less
Relay,
intrusion.
For example.
Like Relay, for example. Yeah. The problem with that is that you have to use either in Relay, you have to use their app. And I don't necessarily like that because I want to do it directly to my cold storage, for example. And I want to make sure that the app that I use is like open source. So I'm not trying to bash them. It's just that for me, it doesn't work. Or you're using something that has very low limits because that's how you can be in the KYC light thing. So I wanted to do something where I can address people who want to have Swiss KYC, which is a little bit lighter than, let's say, in France, for example, or in other places, but at the same time, without that limit and with your own wallet, with your own keys directly. So I piggybacked on
Swiss Swan.
He's saying Swiss Swan.
Yeah. Swiss Swan. Yes. In a way, yes. Except even Swan, I think you have to withdraw from them. You can do it automatically, but you still have to withdraw from them. It doesn't go directly to you.
No, I think so, they can. I think they do the thing with it, but I think it's like they take your XPub. I don't think it's open source, so like they take your XPub or whatever. Mm-hmm. And
okay.
I don't know this from personal experience, but I believe that is the case.
So anyway, my problem with KYC is that I think people don't really understand that KYC is twofold. One is that it's intrusive, and one is that, you know, it's your personal safety and privacy. So the personal safety privacy should be addressed by either doing completely KYC-less, as in, you know, this kind of thing, or coin joining afterwards. And of course, you're still going to be on a list, which is not really good, but at least you can coin join so that your transactions and everything is not tracked. But if you really want to be on and no list at all, then you really need to be 100% KYC less, zero KYC. And I believe the only one that can do that is BISC at this stage. You have other ones, but they're like with limitations and everything. But I admire and I think it's really important that we have that on one hand.
Peach.
And also, sorry?
Peach.
Peach, you're making transactions, except if you're face-to-face with the person. Someone has your email address, your phone identifier, and your IBAN. So it is still good. And the limitations in terms of amount are, you know, acceptable today, but they're not perfect. but somewhere, somehow can be, you know, approaching Peach and say, I want to have all your data for the last 10 years. And they have access to everybody who has interacted with everybody else. And the people that you send the money to, if you are using a bank account, they have your IBAN. So you would still need to really go face to face. And again, I'm not bashing on anyone. I think, you know, the more the better. But when we see that Paxful now is closing shop almost from one day to the next, I'm thinking, you know, what's happening to the next ones? So anyway, my point is, I don't want to be the guy who says no KYC, because I can't do it technically and I'm not good at it. But at the same time, I want to say, if you're going to do KYC, you should be doing KYC and CoinJoin afterwards. But then at the same time, if you're going to do KYC, you want to do KYC with a company that has been there for, you know, whatever, tens of years.
So you're thinking like bull, it's like bull Bitcoin then, because
in a way, yes.
Model, right? I think they use Wasabi or something on the other.
Exactly. So the thing is, I'm not handling the fiat. I'm not handling the Bitcoin. I'm actually piggybacking on a company called BT that is based in Switzerland, that has you know, really good bank relationship and everything. Nobody's gonna block your funds. Nobody's gonna steal your funds. But I wanted to add that level of you know, set up and forget kind of thing. And, you know, get your stats and make sure that everything is working, but that you don't need to do another KYC for that particular service. So my goal in the future is to be plugging in to other companies, let's say Kraken, for example, because everywhere that there is an API, you can be building something.
And then you can kind of arbitrage between them to give better rates, sort of thing.
And then people will do whatever they want to do, but the idea would be that they don't have to do a new KYC that will, you know, potentially leak or potentially sell their data or whatnot.
One issue I've had with adopting any of these DCA or automated DCA services is that quite often the percentage fees are relatively high compared to doing it yourself. What's your model going to be doing on that side?
So all of them, if you use all the, you know, referral and this and that, at the end the standard is 1.5%. So 1.5%, what we did was we negotiated upstream to have a better deal from the service provider, and then we add our commission so that in total it's 1.5%. What we're building now is a referral program. So if you refer enough people that are your, you know, affiliates, your friends, you get a discount, which would lead you to 1% instead of 1.5%. But at the end of the day, when Bitcoin does, you know, 25% in one day and minus 84% the next, 1% is not going to make a huge difference. But yes, I do understand that, especially if you're going to do it like every week or every month, you want to make sure that you have something reasonable.
There's no kind of minimum, like, absolute amount. It's purely percentage based. So you could do small amounts DCA and not accrue additional fees.
No, it's 10 Swiss francs, which, because the conversion rate with euro, because it's euro and Swiss franc, the euro is moving up and down sometimes compared to the Swiss franc. So it's, I forgot if we put 12 or 15 euro per transaction minimum,
and it's 10 Swiss franc. Wrecked over the last 6 months.
Yeah, that's why we wanted to have some kind of margin. But yeah, it's 10 Swiss franc per transaction. So you could do 10 Swiss franc per month, or 10 Swiss franc per day, if you wanted, it would still be 1.5%.
They'd be getting $9.85 is what you're saying, of Bitcoin. Minor fee.
Well, if you're doing 100, you're gonna get.
Oh, sorry, from the ten, I'm saying.
Yeah, but I'm not good. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
So Eve, is this platform up and running yet? Is it?
Yes.
What page is it at?
So first, you can find it on my profile because, as you know, I'm finding weird names, and it's going to be difficult if you don't have a link. The name is Butanuki.
Oh, okay, it is.
That. Oh, I've heard about this, but yeah. I didn't know. Oh, it was yours.
That's good.
Okay,
that's good. Well, okay, cool. So you do remember the name.
That's.
Yeah. Wait a second.
You can't forget a name like that, just so you know.
Yeah, because it followed me, and so I looked out and was like, "What is this thing?" And I started looking. I was like, "I'm confused." Oh, I realize now. Yeah, let's say Swiss made by you, but I don't.
Yes.
Maybe I don't think that was there at the beginning. I don't know. Maybe it was.
I don't know. Who knows?
Well, we're gonna post in the show notes. So
maybe I followed you just to troll you later. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't
exactly.
Remember.
Exactly. Okay.
So that's it. I'm not reinventing the wheel, but it's
French. Dollar, English and French, Swiss francs and euros.
Yes, and we're working on all other bunch of languages because we realize that there are lots of places that people don't necessarily speak English properly, or not enough to feel comfortable to do something like that. So we're working on all kinds of languages. The problem with the Fiat gateway, though, is that we're dependent on the business partner. So for the moment, it's euro and Swiss francs because that's the bank account that they have.
All right, Eve, that was absolutely awesome. Thank you so much for explaining that. We are moving on over to Wrecked.
Up next, we have Wrecked, sponsored by Represent. RepresentLTD.com is where you can find a collection, a few collections of some excellent clothing. This is made by a Bitcoiner, for Bitcoiners, for fighters, for people who are very passionate, for people who are working hard, for people to work out in, for people to work up in, right? For people who are building. And it's really comfy. Pretty much it. Oh, and you can get 10% off all of the goodies if you use the code PLEBUNDERGROUND over at RepresentLTD.com. Represent. For our first story in Wrecked this week, we have everyone's favorite Native American senator. I think that's the title that she goes by. Grandma, maybe, I don't know. There's a lot of old people, right, that seem to run your country. She talked to someone about Bitcoin. And it was kind of embarrassing. I think we should have a look.
With Bitcoin, there's no thing that backs it up. And that's what makes it different. It's just belief. You and I assess. You assess the value is going to go down. I assess it's going to go up. And therefore, I buy.
So I'm going to pause it there because Elizabeth Warren, I believe is her name, has just discovered the concept that there is no such thing as intrinsic value. And value is ascribed to things by humans. And that doesn't just happen by one person. The price of something means there needs to be a market for things, which means there needs to be more than one person that wants something, because otherwise there would not be an exchange happening. Well done. Okay, but isn't she worth like millions and millions despite only having a salary in the hundreds of thousands? Interesting. Okay, anyway, back to the video.
No, so it's more like this artwork.
No, because at the end of the day, I can hang that thing on my wall.
Right.
And I can enjoy it, or I can throw darts at it.
You could sell it for money.
Sure you can. Right. I mean, there are features about it that are the same, but it's not the same. And look, one of the things we have to remember about, there are a lot of things that come within this crypto world. So, for example, we could be talking about, instead of Bitcoin, we could be talking about digital currency. Now, that's something very different.
I think that's different too. I buy that. I accept that.
That's right, because that's a government-backed electronic transfer. And it can be denominated in dollars. It could be denominated in euros. It could be denominated in some new language that's made up. But that has something that backs it up. It has a government that says, if at the end of the day there's a run on this stuff, everybody wants theirs out, the United States government promises there will be something to back it up. That's what banks are about. There'll be somebody there to back it up. But with Bitcoin, that's not the case.
Okay, so like, firstly, like, shout out Magoo, because it's only BBLs that should be backing it up. To make the serious points, what, like, this is very embarrassing. What?
Yeah. I think that's the end of the segment. What?
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 Like, what just happened there? That was absolutely...
Oh, dude, you can't throw darts at Bitcoin. Bullseye.
Oh, man, that's it. We should just pack up. Can't throw darts at it. It has qualities. But you see, they cannot handle Bitcoin. Oh, well, we could invent something entirely new. Not Bitcoin. Government digital transfer. Not Bitcoin.
I thought she was talking about Ethereum, and she's like, oh, the state-backed blockchain, controlled by some small group of elites, blah, blah, blah. JP Morgan owns everything. Yeah, good, yeah. Okay, anyway. Next on Wrecked, we have everyone's favorite olive oil fan, and... I mean, it's kind of an embarrassingly shaped person, but nonetheless, he's a shitcoiner, and that's why he hates Bitcoin. And it's been revealed that actually he does indeed have a short against Bitcoin. So, Taleb, you blocked me, even though I've never interacted with you. I don't care.
Blocks everybody. He's fragile in the
same. Yeah. Despite having a book called isn't it called Anti-Fragility or something, or Anti-Fragile, these jokes write themselves.
It's a good book by the way.
It is.
It's also like, I'm not gonna lie, one of my favorite books is Principles by Ray Dalio, and he doesn't have any principles anymore. So
exactly.
People can produce great work and then become retarded. Yeah, I don't know. Does it happen at a certain point? I thought about this earlier when we were talking about mentioning Gigi. I was thinking, I think Gigi has the highest number of followers on Twitter of any non-shitcoiner. Like, that at some point, Bitcoiners maybe accrue a certain following and they get bought in. Like, even to some degree, Adam Back, right? Like the association with Tether, for example. I don't know. There are kind of different levels to these things, and I don't know. I think some people seem to just get sucked into shitcoins, or they disappear. Right? Maybe they pretend to shitcoin and then disappear. I think Trace Mayer may have done that personally. Anyway,
what are your thoughts, Eve? On the
I think Trace definitely pretended to disappear. I think and I hope that it was something that he did on purpose and not something that, you know, people did to him. But back in the days, I was trying to find a way to have a personal canary, you know, like you have a canary on your website, and if you get subpoenaed or if you get, a gag order, you can remove the canary line and people would know that you are under duress, kind of thing. I think a lot of people have been, even Nick Carter recently, like you can't know as much as you know when you're like Trace or Nick or a few other people and suddenly become an idiot. It just doesn't work. I think Taleb.
What do you think Lop story is then? I mean, he was sort of like a shitcoiner for a while, maybe with Grin and things like this. But like, yeah. I don't know. Like to me, Casa adopting Ethereum was a kind of a strange move.
It's very, very strange. But I think when you're running a company, you have all kinds of people that are breathing on your neck and forcing you to do things you wouldn't necessarily want to do. And at the end of the day, you still need to pay the bills, and not everybody can be, not profitable forever. So I would classify that as, the unfortunate compromises. But yeah, it really sucks. It removes a lot of credibility. He's fighting for his credibility because at the end of the day, he's very knowledgeable and is, I think he's still a net positive.
It used to be my favorite website to point people to, right? Like, and I don't feel like I can do it anymore. Like, it's a shame. It's a real shame.
It's very unfortunate. And it's similar with Andreas. He's, you know, he's a super knowledgeable guy. He's onboarded so many people. And then one day he said, yeah, but you know, I'm agnostic. No, you're not. If you reach that level of understanding, you cannot be.
So do people get to a level where they kind of buy immunity? That's kind of what I'm saying. Do they get to a point where they've done enough for Bitcoin, now they can shitcoin? Because that seems to be kind of the take by some people, right? Like, you mentioned Nick Carter. Like, I don't think you said Breedlove, but maybe that's another one. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Is there some...
Breedlove, you know, I don't understand why people give him a pass, because before he shitcoined and he really rug pulled people, what did he do? Like, okay, he's eloquent. Good for him. You know, he's eloquent. He didn't do a tenth of what Andreas did. He didn't do even a tenth of what Roger Ver did, to be honest.
Yeah.
Even though Roger Ver did it inadvertently, he didn't.
But then he did that a lot more bad. Like, Roger Ver like really undid like some of the good work.
Yeah. But you know, Breedlove, you know, I'm gonna lie, then I'm gonna mute people, then I'm gonna
More in the same bracket of like, I don't know, these people that go from, I don't know, having a smaller following to then having six-figure followings on Twitter, that then seemingly get bought or I don't know, they buy into their own greed. Like,
I think they smell their own fart. That's it. I think it's the I don't remember who coined that. Maybe it was their GG.
Because GG's, I think, is at the top of like the in terms of followers, but hasn't done forward. This. And so, like, yeah, I don't know. If GG starts shitcoining, I'm going to be very concerned. Like, I know.
And I'm going to be very sad. But I think it's a Bitcoin derangement syndrome. It's somewhere, somehow, it gets to your head.
Yep.
And it might
they
not
think
be
they're bigger than
rich.
Bitcoin.
Something like that, I guess. I don't know. I'm fighting against BDS constantly. Because, you know, you start and you think you're more clever than other people because you've been in the scene for longer than them, or because, you know, you did something and they haven't or whatever. And then you start becoming arrogant. And then next thing you know, someone tells you about Mimblewimble and you say, well, I don't understand it, but the guy who tells me about it seems to be super clever. And then, you know, next thing you know, you start saying stupid things. I'm not... And also you have an opinion on everything, because since you have one opinion that turned out to be very, very good, of course, everything else that you're saying, you know, smells
genius.
Best. You're a genius because you're saying you need to be a vegetarian, and then you're a genius the next day because you need to be carnivore. I'm not really sure. I think it's also Bitcoin reveals human nature. And to be honest, there is their GG and there is Odell. And if those two guys are falling, that's it.
Could argue that Odell's kind of like on the edge already with like the VC fund and that sort of stuff. Like, it's all, again, there isn't kind of clear lines maybe for some of these things, unless you're Dieter. I don't know.
You know, back in the days, Google's motto was don't be evil. And then, you know, one day they became super big and they took it off. And that's super disappointing, because you're saying, this is very fiat, you know, I decided this is the line in the sand, but then when I reached the line, I decided to
make a new line.
But it's not okay. It's not okay if you have a family, it's not okay if you have a life. But then again, it's okay for a lot of people. I just don't want to be with them. That's
but I think this is you. Because fiat drives cuckery, because if you have a system where, you know, those closest to the money printer benefit more than others, then there will inherently be a selection hierarchically for political quotient, where people who are better at kind of sucking up and manipulating others rise to the top and benefit from that spigot over those who are necessarily intelligent or producing, because it's not about the work, it's about showing some work or making some sort of relationship that isn't necessarily about doing the work.
Yeah, but Trace has done a lot of work, and the reputation that he got it by being really respectable. Mm-hmm. And where is he now?
I mean, I loved his, like, Credit Contraction is yeah. what helped me understand the problem more than anything else. Like,
but where is he now? He's not running for office. If he was, you would say, yeah, okay, you know, he turned his.
But maybe he doesn't yet. Maybe it's, you know, you wait. He waits another five, 10 years, and then he really can, you know, deploy kind of serious capital.
I think he did a boating accident to himself.
You think he actually lost his Bitcoin?
No. I think he threw his reputation overboard.
Exactly. That's what I think. That's what I think. Yeah.
Just so that people leave him alone and he can, you know, live his life.
Yeah. He killed his reputation. Yeah.
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
But Nick Carter didn't do that.
No. Nick Carter got wrecked because they were a shitcoin fund. Like, that's just, yeah. There are some people who kind of pretend to be Bitcoiners, but they're running shitcoin funds. Like the, what are they called? Morgan Creek guys. Like, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Sort of or maybe he did, and he's so good that we believe that he didn't.
No. You saw like those terrible haircuts and things. Like, it's that doesn't happen by chance.
That's true. That is intentional. But just to bring it back to Nassim Taleb, so another book that he wrote that's fantastic is Fooled by Randomness. I mean, I've read his whole Inserto, right? Like, all five of those books: Better Procrustes, Fooled by Randomness, Anti-Fragile, and I can't remember the other two or the other one.
Well, Black Swan and Black whatever. Swan.
I'm sorry?
And whatever, the last one.
I don't remember the last one, but still. That stuff was absolutely incredible, and it reminds me very much. It reminds me very much of the idea that there's often very crappy people that produce very high quality work, and you have to be able to. In some cases, you have
some
to,
of them just steal it, right? Copy paste and put an H in the corner, right? Like some.
Well, but maybe not. Maybe not. That's the thing. You have to differentiate. I guess that's what you wanted to say. You have to differentiate the person and its work.
That's right. In some cases, you have to, right? And in that case, don't get me wrong, but like it's very difficult to reconcile the person that writes Fooled by Randomness, you know, and the person who writes Anti-Fragile to the asshole on the internet that blocks everyone and that writes an intro to a book he never read, doesn't understand Bitcoin, but sells a course on risk management for $8,000 a pop. Like, you know, it's very difficult to reconcile that, but here we are. This is the timeline. That is the person. You know, so.
I mean, he seems to be, he must know a lot about risks, because otherwise, his calculation on cardiac comorbidity might return a, you know, different value.
He's on the edge. He's living on the edge.
I don't think there's an edge to a sphere, but anyway. Finally, one more story for Wrecked this week. I'm sharing a tweet from myself, sharing a link to an Apple Insider article. I think Apple are pre-based because the white paper is hidden inside on every single Mac in the world if they're running some particular Mac OS or version or later. Now, why is that in Wrecked? Sounds like quite good news, right?
I mean, I was going to
think. I think Fiktoshi is Wrecked because if you say that you own something, there is this concept that you have to and believe that you own, you know, things like trademarks. I think you have to defend the trademark. And if Apple are putting this into all their Macs, they would be infringing on the trademark that he claims to own over Bitcoin. In which case, he's going to have to sue them like he's been suing a bunch of other people. And I don't think he can afford to sue Apple, who I believe have, you know, nine figure sums in the bank? No, more. Maybe more. Are they hundreds of millions like or billions? Like huge numbers. Like is it hundreds of billions? I can't even remember now. But they have huge amounts of money. Like way more than the pedophile backer that CSW has. Like it can't happen. So, but he has no choice. He has to. He either has to take it, or he's actually acknowledging that he's not Satoshi, because Satoshi would, of course, you know, continue to reinforce his appeals over the ownership of Bitcoin and trademarks, etc.
Craig's fucked. There's really no other way to say it. I mean, he does not have
Buttoshi.
Yeah, he does not have the war chest that Apple has. So good luck. And to your point, this is like a checkmate. Now, before we go to Eve's comments on this, I want to bring up, there was a tweet from Ant that I thought was very interesting and very thoughtful, explaining that, you know, the way that Apple products are made, it's, you know, everything is very thoughtfully designed.
Okay? I agree. I saw this tweet.
Yes, exactly. And I totally agree. This was intentional. Okay. This is complete.
Yeah, but Steve Jobs is not Satoshi before people start going on that one.
That's right. And that is the piece that we're going to write. Like, Steve Jobs is not Satoshi, okay? Like, Steve Jobs was a businessman. Steve Jobs, yes, I understand that he went to Berkeley and everything like that with the Woz, but Woz is the one who built the boards. Woz is the one who built the computer, okay? Like, it wasn't...
Also, Steve Jobs is woke as fuck, right? Like, Steve Jobs was the Pixar guy who then became the biggest shareholder in Disney. And so, like, he drove a lot of this, like, woke culture stuff. I don't think, like, that meshes too well with with what came with Bitcoin.
He's a different type of genius, right? He's a different type of genius. He's not the genius that created Apple in the same way that the Woz did.
Isn't he a fiat product though? Like he's a tweaker. He's good at pitching, sort of thing. Like is he the actual? I don't know.
He is technical. Well, but he's a businessman.
He put the music labels and everyone like that. He put them on their knees. So business wise and pirate wise, he's kind of an agitator. He was, but yeah, he's still fiat in a way, but a good kind of fiat. If it wasn't for him, you would still, you know.
I mean, to me, Bezos is like a good kind of fiat, where it's like you're solving a true kind of, you know, thing. People want convenience, and people want to be able to, you know, go to one place and buy everything. Essentially, like there's lots of businesses in the real world where you save people time, will often make money.
Yeah. But it doesn't prevent you from being a pirate.
Correct. Yeah.
I'm sorry. What were you going to say about Steve Jobs before? I'm very curious. Like just before, because you were saying because he's very good. You? Sorry.
Who is you?
I think he means you.
Oh, Eve, you were
about... no Hugh.
Yeah, you. No, Eve, you were about to say something about Steve Jobs like a minute or so ago. Do you remember what it was? It was something about him being a good, like good for, you know, good fiat in a way.
He's a billionaire. He's a guy who is running, as we said, Pixar and whatnot. But at the same time, every time he did something, he did it in a way that was, hurting the compromise and hurting the status quo.
Hey, look, I'm sitting here like I'm not hating on Apple. Like this is running on a Mac Mini. I've got an iPad on my lap.
Of course.
I've got an iPhone next to me. Like Apple, they solve this issue of kind of things connecting together. I know people say, oh, you got to buy a million connectors, but to me, that some of the stuff more recently, like being able to AirDrop between devices, like or copy and paste between devices, like some of these. Again, it's saving time, enabling better flow. You can make a lot of money.
Anyway, he's not Satoshi, that's for sure. those who were there, I don't remember when it was, 2014 or something, when people started smashing their iPhone, if you remember that, because they from one day to the next, they removed all the Bitcoin apps, and then it came back. Apple is not necessarily pro Bitcoin as a Bitcoiner would like it to be. But it might be in a way of saying, you know, the same way they're saying, we love the US, we love California, we're building, you know, all our headquarters and everything, but technically we're incorporated in Ireland or Isle of Man or something so that we don't pay taxes. So that way, I can see them embracing Bitcoin in a way that, you know, the same way as MicroStrategy did.
It's very interesting how this is all playing out. I don't know how many people would have had every Apple computer having the Bitcoin white paper on their bingo.
Yeah, why don't Apple buy a shitload of Bitcoin?
Who knows? Next time I talk to whoever is in charge, I'll ask them.
To me, it's the kind of it's fiat cuckery, right? It's like for the same reason that I don't know. I mean, because of what's happening with Elon, people are like, oh, you know, you can't kind of. If you kind of fuck with the state too much, you know you kind of get a bit wrecked because they're slightly more powerful. Like no matter what company you are, you get rugged, or you can be, you know.
Well, think about what happened to what's his name, Zuckerberg,
or Ma in China, right? Well, like I mean, now you see Alibaba breaking up, having like he's now been seen in public for the first time in months and months and months. Like at some point, business people get. And this is why I kind of believe that Saylor is a spook, because at some point they get to a level where there will be someone tapping on their shoulder to have a conversation, because their business interests may have kind of overlap with geopolitical plays.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He's also not he is not building so much on Bitcoin, or is not doing stuff with Bitcoin. He's just buying it.
And he's running a conference for Bitcoin and Lightning. I think kind of integrations for companies and this sort of thing.
Yeah, that's true. He did that. Yeah. That's true.
So I do think. I don't know. I don't think Saylor is necessarily good for Bitcoin, but I don't think it matters whether an individual is good or bad for Bitcoin.
No. Of course. But I was thinking about the spookness of it. When Elon bought Bitcoin, Tesla, just before that, he was playing so much with Bitcoin on Twitter. And then suddenly he stopped and he went to Dogecoin. And probably because, you know, legal called him and said, dude, you can't do that. You already got, you know, called once. Because you were saying you want to make your company private, and they told you
420 a share, right?
Yeah, exactly. That you.
But he likes market manipulation. That's the thing. I think he likes Doge because he likes fucking with people. People get to a certain point where they can already afford to buy everything, or things get given to them. So the way they get their kicks is by taking things from people. Now you might see that, you know, market manipulation, insider trading, you know, like kind of whale games. But you also see, you know, people taking, you know, liberties from other people. You see a lot of, corruption once people get to these sort of levels of wealth that I think are only possible on a fiat standard.
Yeah, but he didn't, like, okay, the SEC or whoever came and knocked at his door when he did that. But they didn't call him to testify in front of Congress like they did to Zuckerberg when he announced Libra. So it's kind of a different game. When Facebook announced Libra, and you know, him and Marcus were called in front of Congress and Senate or whoever, and you know, it was really like a big arm wrestle where they told them, you can't mess with us. If you start doing whatever you're planning to do and you're announcing to do and you think you're gonna get away with it, it's not gonna work. Whereas when Tesla bought a lot of Bitcoin and MicroStrategy bought a lot of Bitcoin, you know, you can't throw a dart at it. You can't hang it on your wall. So you can do whatever you want, but don't go too far. You can't, you know, it's like, are you familiar with that tale of Icarus who flew too close to the sun?
Absolutely.
Wait, there's a guy around here called Coin Icarus. I don't know if you've heard of him.
Well, he was very silent, so I wanted to make sure he was following and not falling asleep.
Oh, no, I'm not falling asleep at all. Not at all.
No, he just doesn't have the same, like, problem that I do.
I let people finish when they're talking.
Yeah.
It's an old art.
It's fine. But Walton also comes up with some great points that I totally don't even come close to thinking of. So this is how we compliment each other, you know?
It's beautiful.
It is. All right, speaking of which, this wraps up the wrecked segment, and we are moving on over to...
Wait, just final comment. Just the final comment. Fuck shit coins. Thank you.
Of course.
Yeah, Phil, what are we going to?
We are moving on over to the Hopium.
The Hopium.
The Hopium is brought to you by Crypto Cloaks. Check them out, CryptoCloaks.com. Also serving the EU, CryptoCloaks.co.uk. Don't forget to use Pleb Underground for 5% off awesome 3D prints, such as the 3D printed grenade. You can store your open dime. You can get the bigger one and store a full signing device. Don't forget to check them out. CryptoCloaks.com. Don't forget to use the code Pleb Underground for 5% off. That is CryptoCloaks.com. All right, guys, this week on the Hopium, we are going to take a look at a video from a tweet from Wall Street Silver. And the video is none other than Christine Lagarde talking about the virtues of, you know, of a digital currency, a CBDC. But the reason why I think it's Hopium is because it's really them coping with what they can't stop. So I just find it to be projection. I find it to be weakness, and I find it to be absolutely hilarious. So
it was only a couple of weeks ago they were blaming inflation on people putting up prices, which they have to do to earn more because things cost more. Way.
Yeah, of course. Look, the goalposts are moving, right? The dartboard is moving. They can't seem to stop or catch anything. But look, we're rest assured, it's someone else's fault, and the ECB has a solution. They always have a solution, right? It doesn't matter if it's someone else's fault. It doesn't matter if the explanations that they give make no sense or don't exactly fit. They still have a solution.
Yeah, and remember, guys, you already know that Christine Lagarde is willing to break all sorts of financial laws and go to jail, or I don't know if she did, but she certainly broke some financial laws. You know, she's willing to do that to further her cause. And so, you know, if you trust her and she's got your interests in mind, then that's pretty a good bet. Right, Phil?
Yeah, I agree. You could trust these people. And on that note, let's take a look at this video. All right, here's the tweet. ECB President Lagarde describing the Euro CBDC and controlling payments. It is as bad as it sounds. Let's find out. I haven't watched this yet, okay? So
I have a question about I'm also a good user of electronic money. So my question, you're introducing the electronic euro, as I know.
Yeah.
So yeah. How can switching to an electronic currency help?
Well, two things. Number one, it will be decided in October. So we are preparing the ground. We want to be ready. We want to be trained, but it will not be decided until October 23.
Red October.
The reason I'm personally convinced that we have to move ahead is a situation like the one we are in now. We are dependent on the supply of gas by a very unfriendly country. Mm-hmm. I don't want Europe to be dependent on an unfriendly country's currency. For instance, I don't know, you know, the Chinese currency, the Russian currency, the whatever. Mm-hmm. Or dependent on a friendly currency, but which is activated by a private corporate entity like, you know, Facebook or like Google or anybody like.
I'm user of Bitcoin too. So I had bought it when it started, and I hope that it also will work in through the special system. And I know there are many protests in Europe against the electronic euro. What is the reason?
You know, it's the beauty of Europe. It has different positions. If you ask in Northern Europe, for instance, in the Netherlands, they're quite happy to see the e-euro coming. If you ask a young German man, he'll say, yeah, fine. As I said, I don't want Meta, Google, or Amazon to suddenly come up with a currency that would take over the sovereignty of Europe.
Okay, we're going to stop it right there. Hold on.
Can I firstly say that this might be my favorite Sacha Baron Cohen to date? It's kind of a little bit like Borat, but not quite. Like it's a good Sacha Baron Cohen. It's impressive that he bought Bitcoin so early. Congratulations to you, sir. There's some good deflection there, right? When people are complaining about protests, you talk about cultural diversity, essentially. We celebrate diversity of opinion, is the response to, oh, we don't like what you're doing. Well, we celebrate your diversity of opinion. It's a good one. It's a good one, right? Like, it's all fucking gaslighting, guys, as you know.
We have to start using that. We have to start using that. When we disagree with people, we're just going to start to celebrate the diversity of their opinions. Really appreciate what you have to say there. It's such a mind fuck. And what I find hilarious, because I know I wouldn't be able to say it with a straight face. I have to applaud her. She's fantastic at delivering this type of messaging. But the idea that we don't want a private entity issuing the money. But
they're happy with JP Morgan and Ethereum, right?
And the IMF, who issues SDRs, which, who's that controlled by? Is that's a
wait problem. What? Isn't the ECB private? Like, I thought most central banks were private. Maybe the ECB isn't, but like all the other ones are.
It's public. No, so the thing is this, right? It's public when they're explaining who the enemy is. Okay, when they're explaining what the problem is.
It's public when things are going wrong, yeah. And it's private when things are going good, right? Good job, finance.
Eve, you're also across the pond from me. Both of you guys are across the pond from me. What are your thoughts on what you've seen come out of the ECB in the last few years? Surprising.
Oh. Yeah. Well, no, that's the thing. It doesn't surprise me anymore. It's going the way it's supposed to be going, which is, you know, towards the wall, and the wall is coming closer and closer. But nothing is surprising. What is surprising is that she's French, right? And she has she is, I don't know, influential in France in general as herself and everything. And of course she reads the news in France and everything. People who see that in France, at the same time they see what's really happening every day today, like now, where, you know, streets are on fire and people are being hit like crazy, and they're, you know, throwing stones at cops who end up in a hospital, and the garbage collection don't work anymore, so people are actually burning garbage on the sidewalk because it's unbearable in terms of the smell and the rats and everything. You have,
guys, and this is meant to be Paris. This isn't New York City we're talking about here. This is a culture capital of the world here.
It's just crazy. And at the same time, they are telling you, yeah, but everything is going to be fine, and we don't want Meta to be in charge of things. Well, you know, then be in charge of things and make it work. Because like yesterday or the day before, I was watching French news, like a French TV channel that talks about finance. And and they were saying, yeah, what was it? The perceived inflation in the people that they surveyed is 18% in France. And they were saying, but fortunately, the real inflation is a third of it.
Yeah, there is no bigger lie than CPI. There is no bigger lie than CPI. Yeah, we have the same bullshit here. It's like, oh, it's like 10%. And like, oh, it's 10.1%. No, it's like 20%. Like, I don't know. Or maybe more. Like, how much is food going up? Like, how much is energy going up?
If they're saying good news, it's only a third of 18%. I mean, it's 6%. And 6% is three times what they're saying that should happen. And even if it wasn't a lie, the fact that they're lying and they're, you know, covering and they're, you know, rounding the edges, whatever. But at the end, 6% is huge. And if at 6% and fire in the street, people don't realize that there is a problem, that people would rather trust Meta than, you know, their own central bank and government, you really have a problem. Yesterday, yep. the French Senate passed something which fortunately the law didn't pass. They wanted to block the prices for a whole bunch of, you know, how do you call that? The products like bread and water and oil and electricity and fuel and whatever, like first necessity products, they wanted to cap the price for it. And we have seen through history when that start happen, you know, it's a straight line to hyperinflation and blood in the street and famine.
That's and right, and
it's funny you talk about the 6%, right? You talk about 6% for inflation, but I think the more important 6% is all these mortgages going from, say, 2% to 6% across the Western world, right? Because then there's going to be a collapse of all these housing markets, and which isn't going to work. Like, and so that then triggers all these reversals, and we've just seen that in the UK, right? That they're gonna stop raising rates, exactly, because they have to do this. So they're going to be going backwards and forwards for the next however. I always think the Austin Powers meme with the, you know, the little truck stuck in the corridor, right? Between print and cause more inflation, and but then of course you then have to raise the rates and stop printing but then you then cause all the companies to get rid of jobs and people can't afford to pay their mortgages and the stock market crashes and everyone thinks that they're poor and would just, you know, lose everything and their confidence in government. So then we go back to printing again and then we cause inflation and then we have to reverse and it's fucked, isn't it?
But my point was she knows all this.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth Warren that we saw earlier, she knows everything that's happening. And she's,
I don't know about Elizabeth Warren.
No, but like seriously, she knows about Silicon Valley Bank. She knows about Credit Suisse. She knows about, you know, unemployment rate. She knows about all this. Everybody knows about all this. And all those people, they're still gaslighting us like we don't know. And some people are still believing them because, you know, they're in power. Obviously, they know
better
than you
and I. But this is because of central banking, Eve. This is what I'm saying earlier, that the incentives drive it. This political manipulative behavior is selected for because it gets you access to this wealth generation, but only for those people at the expense of everyone else, right? Like that.
But it doesn't work anymore.
So how do we truly kill central banking? Does Bitcoin truly kill central banking?
It's a way out for at least you and your loved ones.
But does it happen? Are there enough people that do we need enough people to adopt it?
Yeah, but it's like the internet and Facebook and whatnot. You know, you're gonna have.
You think it happens?
It will eventually happen.
It will.
It will happen because more and more people are starting to ask questions. And you know, like one of the video that could be in the Hopium, like side by side with the one from Lagarde, is the one from Augustine Carstens.
Oh yeah.
In that event when he's saying, you know, like the central bank digital currency is great because we're gonna have more control and we will know exactly, like everybody who is spending $100, we know exactly what they're spending. And some people see it as, you know, wrecked or like something dangerous or horrible. And I see it like hopium, because every time I show that to someone, I don't even have to orange peel them. Like the reaction is instantaneous. They can see black and white the guy who is in charge of central banks saying, we want to create a dystopian nightmare and like nobody will have privacy. It's like he's the bizarro cypherpunk. He's the opposite of the cypherpunks. Whatever.
And if you
want to
understand what
the eyes.
If you want to understand what the word hyperinflation means, all you need to do is Google Augustine Carstens, and you can see the first example of a human hyperinflating to its limit.
I'm not commenting on that.
No, it's just so scary, though.
I'm neutral.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean,
chaotic neutral or lawful?
It's just really scary stuff, right? That these people don't see anything wrong. Like, think about it, right? Like,
no, they do see it.
No, they're psychopaths, Phil. They think they're guardians of humanity. Honestly, they're people that think they have the tools and the kind of benevolent mindset to help humanity. And even if I don't manage it, well, then maybe I'm just like Jesus, and I'm some sort of like I'll be you know revered for like there's a lot of again they why because. Like, well, you see this. Religion's been undermined all across the Western world. And for many, the state is their religion. The government is their lord and protector. And so no wonder these people have God complexes, because they're being treated as such.
We have a lot of work to do. There is a lot of work to do. There's, you know, Bitcoin fixes a lot of stuff, right? It fixes the money, but the reality
it doesn't fix cucking. You need to stop cucking. Exactly. Like people respect yourselves, respect your time.
People have to choose to fix themselves. People have to choose to
have
higher quality thoughts and have higher quality actions. People have to make those active choices.
Exactly. You can bring the donkey to the water, but you can't make him drink.
We fix the money, we fix ourselves, and then we can help people around us. That's fixing the world. You're not fixing a big area. You do you first, and then you're those around you.
That is exactly right. And that is the best way to end the Hopium segment. Guys, that was our show. Absolutely amazing. Thank you all for joining us. Eve, thank you so much for being special guest. How do people find you?
They find me mostly on Twitter. I'm not going to give my home address, but
okay.
If they come on Twitter, they can find me. My handle is Lok, so it's Zlok. And that's about it. Come say hi, follow me if you want, block me if you don't, it doesn't matter.
Absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. So guys, don't forget to like and subscribe. Don't forget to check us out on our audio only platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Anchor. If you want to stream a sats, check us out on fountain.fm. You could stream a sats through Breeze. Walton, how do we end this?
Fuck shit coins.
That's right. Fuck shit coins. Catch you all next
time. Except my Doge coin.
It's deflationary.
Yeah, I know.